really became good friends when he moved back home. And immediately Irvin got involved with the Rotary Club and with the church and some of the other things in town, Chamber of Commerce. It's sort of like being a turtle on Interstate 10. When Irvin's involved, things are going to happen because he's moving around and you better get going or you're going to get run over. When I came on the board in 91, the bank board in Flatonia always was interested in some expansion. And at that time, there were a lot of different opportunities with banks. And I'm sitting here today telling you, if it wouldn't have been for Irvin Zuzalek, we would have never acquired the first bank that we did. Every day, it sort of flowed in a different direction. We didn't know if this was going to happen or not happen, but Irvin was tenacious. He had focus, he had vision, and he said, we're going to get this done. We're kind of sitting around looking at other things to do, and that's when this stranger from the north showed up named Don Strickland. You know, Irvin's something of a prophet. He's not very good at football scores or football games, but he's something of a prophet. And he told me on more than one occasion, you keep an eye on that young guy, Don Strickland, because before long, he's going to be moving out smartly.
Irvin's a quality guy. And so, you know, I'd been in LaGrange for a couple of years, and so I called Irvin up one day and said, hey, let's have lunch. And I said, hey, I got this idea I got to tell you about. And he said, well, I'm all ears. And I said, hey, we'll take your company, Central Texas Bank, and we'll take State Bank. We had a holding company, Premier Bank Shares. And I said, we'll put the two companies together and I get to be president and CEO. And you can be chairman of the board.
The people that typically come into our company always tell us how appreciative they are. And a lot of it stems directly from the attitude that Irvin brings when he walks through that door. I mean, he always made a point of going to those locations, getting to know those people, shaking their hand, finding out about them.
The first time I met him, and he had a maroon car and he had a maroon jacket and a maroon tie. I haven't seen a maroon suit, but I figured out that that's a big part of his life, and so obviously it was going to be a big part of mine too.
Irvin's proudest degree is that he has a master's degree from UT. So that's what makes Irvin so successful. And I always tell him that I would have gone to Texas A&M, but already had experience 4 years of high school. I didn't need four more.
The biggest milestone was when we actually got to move into the College Station market. I knew that when I brought that up, I was not going to have very much resistance.
The Arnhem family goes back to the very foundation of our town in 1873. Well, Judge Arnhem, over the years, had always collected farm implements, artifacts, old saddles, old muskets. He was interested in Texas history. He had a house here east of town that was full of stuff. He died in 1978, and he was survived by his wife and no children. And she had sent word to some of us in town that she would love to give these artifacts back to the community. So Irvin sort of did what the guys in the peace conferences always do. They bring everybody to the table and try to get everybody to commit to something. But he got the bank to agree to donate this building, probably worth $250,000. Then we went to see Miss Arnhem and said, all right, we've got the bank willing to give us this wonderful building. Will you donate the artifacts? She said, not only will I donate all these artifacts, I'll give you a couple of pieces of real property that I own. And so here we are in 2005, not even 20 years later, we have an old bank building full of wonderful artifacts. It took a little energy. Some guy named Irvin Zuzalek kind of pushed the boulder down the hill and started rolling. Our church was built probably in the mid-70s, but there was a construction defect that nobody knew about. So Irvin sort of took it upon himself. I don't think he got permission from the Pope. I think he just did this himself. He started a church renovation and repair fund, started salting away some money for the day that was coming. And the problems that we thought were small problems all of a sudden were worth about $500,000. And it was a heck of a project. We basically gutted the building, put all new stuff in, had to rearrange some things in the ceiling. We just about have it all paid for. Irvin deserves a lot of credit. Again, being infectious with his energy and his interest and a desire to see this done. And that plays organ in our church. Irvin's in the choir. Why, I don't know, but I do sing better than he does. He will tell you I sing better than he does. If you just are around him enough and watch him, he and his wife, his beautiful wife Jeanette, dance, and you watch the way he attacks life, and you watch the way he enjoys life, and even as we're speaking, he's probably out on the lake on a jet ski with 26 grandkids hooping and hollering and having a hell of a good time. Employees are constantly impressed by the personal attention they get from Irvin and Donna, what I mean is, how's your family doing? What are your kids up to?
And I'm humbled to be able to watch him regardless of whether or not I'm in the crowd at the shareholders meeting or listening to him talk to new employees in orientation luncheon. And with Irvin and the directors and Don and his executive team, I mean, it's a great place to work. And I just am thankful to be able to have the opportunity. Thanks, Irvin, and congratulations.
I don't know if y'all rank your soldiers on loyalty and love and so forth, but I guarantee Irvin is number one. He thanks so much of the entire staff. He thanks so much of the entire membership. He thanks so much of Chris Williston. That has got to be one of his pride and joys in life. He would always learn something at an IBAT conference or an IBAT director's meeting or an IBAT lunch at Hutt's or wherever y'all would go have lunch. He would bring something back to Flatonia or LaGrange, and we could always use that. Here's what they're doing in Dallas. Here's what so-and-so said they're doing in West Texas. Here's what they're doing in East Texas.
When I stop and think about the people who make this state work and who have an influence and how things are achieved and done and reached, somebody who has an influence in setting good goals and understanding good banking and good community relationships, I very definitely think of Irvin.
Well, I just want you to know that I am really privileged to have a chance to talk about Irvin Zuzalek. I really believe that leadership is a gift. I don't think you can learn it, and I don't think you can fake it. I think it's a gift, and Irvin Zuzalek has that gift. I will never forget as long as I live when the Congress tried to impose interstate banking on the states, and Chris Williston and I talked about that a lot because you could opt out of that. And we decided that our best advice to the board was going to be that we shouldn't be out of step with the rest of the nation. And so we were in a board meeting, and Chris and I had gotten up, and we were talking about what we thought. And Irvin just quietly stood up, and he just said, "I think it would be bad for this association not to opt out." And I want you to know that whole board turned around, and we opted out. Now that's leadership, and that's quiet, dignified, understated leadership. That's Irvin Zuzalek.
Many times I use the word loyalty in this conversation. You have friends, and then you have loyal friends. And Irvin is one of those loyal friends. And I know if that anything ever happened, he would be there for me and my family. And how can you value that? So that's the way I would sum it up. You need to give me more notice to answer that question. Maybe at the end of the interview I'll answer that one for you, but I can't think of anything that I would say would be a fault. I do know a fault. He should have been twins. If we had Irvin Zuzalek twins and they were exactly alike, we'd probably have a $5 billion banking institution. We'd probably have 6 new high schools in town. All the streets would be paved with gold. I don't know what all would happen, but if we had two Irvins, a lot more would be happening.